I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. There's a nonprofit center in San Luis Obispo whose mission is to build and support emotionally strong families, individuals, and community through confidential, affordable counseling, education, and advocacy. And I'm talking about the Community Counseling Center. My guest today is the executive director of the center, and that's James Statler. Welcome, James.
Extremely pleased to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. I'd like to have you start by giving us a little bit of background about the Community Counseling Center.
Well, I think it's important to know right off the bat that we have been around for 45 years now. We're actually the oldest mental health nonprofit in the county, and we still operate under an all-volunteer model of licensed and pre-licensed therapists. Right now, we're around 80. And we originally started out as Family Services Center. That was the name that many people will know us as, FSC. And we became Community Counseling Center in the early 2000s. And since have really been trying to move towards more of a countywide scope of services and just overall growth and potential to serve the area.
And you have more than one location right now?
We do. We have multiple locations. Mm-hmm. About 3 years ago, we opened an office downtown Paso Robles, and about a year and a half ago, we partnered with Compass Health to open up a site in Grover Beach, and we also have an array of satellite sites in Cambria and Atascadero and Napomo and Arroyo Grande, Oceano through the Family Resource Center Network. And of course, we have our headquarters downtown San Luis Obispo right on Marsh Street, where we've been for over 20 years.
Who do you serve? How do people who need counseling come to your attention?
Our primary clientele are those that are of low to moderate income, modest means, uninsured, or in this new age, just underinsured for their mental health. And they come to us seeking counseling for depression, anxiety, grief, loss, couples, trauma, phase of life, gender identity, sexual orientation. There's a lot of reasons that people can come to us, and we're lucky that we have a pretty broad pool of experts that can deal with a lot of those issues. We're really the community generalist when it comes to a lot of those mental health counseling needs locally.
Mm-hmm. Are there people who can't use your services?
Well, we really look to be savvy with our information and referral. We have a lot of other great nonprofit CBOs that do mental health work. Issues like domestic violence or intimate partner violence, if it's recent or active, we might look towards the Slow Women's Shelter program or RISE. For long-term, chronic, persistent, untreated mental illness, standalone brief counseling isn't necessarily the best mode to go with, so we're going to look to hook somebody up with a county mental health or Transitions Mental Health Association and see if counseling isn't something that gets plugged into their suite or menu of care maybe down the road at a more appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, I would say probably 75 to 80% of all the clients that call us or walk in or get a referral will end up getting an intake or having counseling with us. And maybe that other pocket will end up getting a more appropriate for referral for a better service for them.
Talk about the cost of counseling at the Community Counseling Center.
We're doing very charitable work here. They're highly affordable rates. Sometimes there's a misnomer out there that we are free, but we're very reasonable. Sessions start at $15, can go all the way up to $60 for somebody who has a higher income. But we also work with people who can't even afford the lowest end at 15. We have different grants that can scholarship somebody at 10 or at 5 or at $1 or at nothing if they're still suitable for our services.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty dynamic and powerful model. And if you look at the world of copays, even with insurance, you know, 15 to 20, 25, which is what most clients are paying, is right in that pocket of affordability. Now, not to get onto too much of a tangent, but certainly the Affordable Care Act and all the new people that are insured under Medi-Cal and can now get mental health counseling through that insurance has changed the picture a little bit for us. And we're sort of in the midst of going, well, we know our model will work, but how are we maybe partnering more with licensed therapists or the county or folks who are going to be using Medi-Cal to see clients?
So you mentioned you have around 80
volunteers. Yes.
So who are these counselors?
Well, it's a broad array of licensed marriage family therapists, interns and trainees, licensed clinical social workers, a few associate social worker interns, licensed psychologists, and more recently, I think a pool of 7 or 8 doctoral practicum students and psych assistants that are working with us. So the depth and, you know, the breadth of the clinical supervision that we offer to our interns and trainees is really staggering, especially for those that know a little bit about mental health therapist training sites. We have 15 clinical supervisors right now and over 40 interns and trainees. So that's
wow.
a pretty large program, which we're proud of, and always looking for new therapists that want to engage and get involved.
approximately how many people do these 80 counselors serve?
Well, last fiscal year, 2012-13, we don't have all the data from this year yet, we had over 1,500 client contacts, and 1,200 of those clients received counseling. So 1,200 clients across the county got professional, affordable, low-cost counseling from CCC.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with James Statler, who's the executive director of the Community Counseling Center, which has locations throughout San Luis Obispo County. Tell me about your therapy model.
Our agency is rooted in a short-term, brief therapy model. Solution-focused therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy is what surrounds that primarily. So we're looking at 10 to 15 sessions. We let clients know that from the beginning when they get involved in their treatment agreement or how the program works. It's time sensitive, it's episodic, and that people can come back after 6 months, which is nice. So there is an ongoing connectivity that can happen with the agency. But we have a large demand, and one of the things we always say is we want to make sure that everybody who wants the services can get them. And what that model allows us to do is to free up new spaces on the waiting list to work with therapists. So I think it's just good for interns and trainees that want to come train at our site to know that. It's also good for the community to know that when they're looking to make a referral or thinking about us as a service. A lot of licensed therapists in private practice might have more of an open-ended model for duration. But as an agency, we're sort of in that 10 to 15 session window. That's been our work for a long time.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you have interns who are with you going through training. Tell me about the training at the Community Counseling Center.
Well, the first step in the training ground is the intake assessment and evaluation. We have all of our interns and trainees doing that. That's the front end. That's where our clients are first greeted and met and are sharing their issues and their stories and they're presenting concerns. So that's a powerful place to get to see a broad array of clients with different needs and to get a little bit savvy about where they might get placed within the agency, which therapists have expertise or which agencies outside they also might be a good fit for. From there, clinical supervision happens weekly for all of them. Some are involved in individual and group supervision settings, and some are involved in just one-to-one or group supervision. We also do anywhere from 4 to 6 continuing education workshops every year, which are, you know, Board of Behavioral Sciences, and when we need it, Board of Psychology approved for CEUs. And on in-service level, we have a clinical program manager. Her name's Sheila Lassegard. She's been in the mental health field for over 30 years. She operates a private practice up in Templeton, but she also oversees the waiting list and does a lot of helping interns and trainees with intake assessments or a progress note or a tricky request for health records or a liaison with another healthcare provider that needs an ROI or a release of information. There's a lot of intricacies and obstacles in navigating that part of the healthcare world where it's really nice to have a clinical program manager who can do that within the training program. Mm-hmm.
Where are these interns coming from?
Our main feeders are Cal Poly, Pacifica, Brandman, Antioch, and more recently we've been plugging into UCSB and Capella and Walden and looking a little bit more broadly, not just so much about the university, but how about the quality of the candidate? How about their likelihood that they're going to stay in the area and be committed to our agency? As a volunteer program, it's so important to have some degree of consistency or commitment, and that's something we look for is at least a year commitment from an intern or trainee to be with us.
Besides getting training, what are benefits to the counselors who are volunteering at your center? Why do they volunteer there?
Well, I think because we're a great professional development network and hub. If you're a licensed therapist and you volunteer with us, there's an incentive program. For every 1 hour of client contact that you do for one of our clients, you can earn free private practice room usage at any of our facilities. We also, if you volunteer for us, can put you on our private practice referral sheet. You know, Community Counseling Center has a broad net. We get a lot of people coming in from our website or the internet who are just saying, oh, I want to get counseling. And, you know, I've got Anthem Blue Cross. And, you know, right out the gates, we're probably going to try and hook that person up with that insurance panel so they can use that. And that's a great time for us to go, well, let's take a look at our list and what region are you in? What kind of therapy are you looking for? Oh, so-and-so has a practice right here and they take that insurance. So that's a great bone to throw. And since I've been around with the agency about 3 years, I have found out that we are somewhat of the newcomers club. If you're new counselor to the Central Coast, people say, go check out CCC. You can help build your private practice and start to get integrated into how things work around here.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with James Statler, who's the executive director of the Community Counseling Center. Can you share a story with me about an individual or a family that the CCC has helped and how you've specifically made a difference in their lives?
The story that comes to mind is one that's most recent. I'm thinking of a gentleman that called in that sense of desperation, had not been able to make contact with somebody who could listen to him and hear what his dilemma was. And it was using an insurance that was, there's only a small amount of providers in our county who can take that insurance. And in the process, had been bounced around from a few different situations where he was needing to get some psychiatric medication. So he was in a state of not having been evaluated by a psychiatrist or getting that medication support, not getting any therapy or support because he didn't think anybody in the county could take his insurance, and was using the local hotline, and the county's mobile crisis unit had come out to assess him for, you know, hospitalization 5150. That did not occur. But what did occur is a series of ongoing contacts with Community Counseling Center. We did an intake for the gentleman. We took the time to see what type of insurance he had and who locally could see him. We maintained contact with him for, you know, the 10 days that it took for all of that to click and to get into place. Most people would probably think, oh, you see a client for 10 to 15 sessions, and that's CCC's ideal outcome. Well, in this situation, we did counseling, we did an intake, but we also remained, you know, within the safety net and available and a voice of reason and compassion in a system that can be, as people have described, fragmented or confusing. We got some flowers put on our desk, and we got a phone call, and, you know, this individual is doing a lot better right now getting adequate care. Those are the little nuances and pieces in the program that maybe don't always shine publicly, but they shine within the agency.
Where does the funding for the Community Counseling Center come from?
Traditionally, it's been pretty diverse. We have a strong grants stream that accounts for about a third of our revenue, a clinical revenue, because our clients do pay for services. We have a few contracts. We have worked with the Atascadero School District the last 2 years to do school-based counseling. We do some small contracts with Transitions Mental Health Association, Alpha Pregnancy and Parenting Support, Community Action Partnership, Health and Prevention Division.
If someone wants to find out more about the Community Counseling Center, how does one do that?
Well, I would welcome you to go to our website at cccslo.com. Or give us a call at the headquarters. You can reach us Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at 805-543-7969. Or check us out on Facebook. We've got an active Facebook page and community.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with me, James Statler, who's the executive director of the Community Counseling Center in San Luis Obispo County.
It's my pleasure to share the message and the work, and look forward to more dialogue.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.